You're listening to Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. The show today includes a conversation with Brad Holmes, who is director of the choirs at Millikan University in Decatur. They're giving their annual Vespers programs this weekend on Saturday and Sunday, always very popular events. And we'll also be talking with Daniel Black, who is guest conducting the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra tomorrow night at the Krannert Center in Urbana for their annual holiday concert, in which they'll be joined by the Central Illinois Children's Chorus. Hope you'll stay with us for a full show today. My guest on this portion of Live and Local is Brad Holmes, who is Director of Choral Activities at Millikan University in Decatur. The school is giving its annual Vespers program this weekend for four performances, two on Saturday, two on Sunday at the Kirkland Fine Arts Center, and it is one of their most popular events, always extraordinarily well attended. And I just keep hearing so many wonderful things about the choral program there, and especially about your own choir, Brad. Appreciate you joining us on the show.
Well, it's nice to talk to you, Ken.
The Vespers, this, am I counting right that this will be the 52nd year?
52nd year, and started back then by Dick and Kay Hoffland, who are sort of people that are loved around here. Started with a single performance, and about 125 people came, and this sort of spirit of this event was initiated, and here we are, 52 years later, four performances. We'll sing for almost 7,000 people.
That's astounding. What do you think makes these things so popular for the community? And I'm guessing it must be people beyond Decatur that come into this.
You know, some people will bring busloads in from literally from other states to hear the event. So that's exciting for this little school, you know, to draw people from St. Louis and Indianapolis and other places. But I don't know what I think what makes the event so popular is there's a spirit about it that's welcoming. It's we'd like to think that the music is a great balance of traditional fare plus things that might challenge the listener just a little bit, and then the audience participates with us. We break the fourth wall of the theater and put the choir down into the audience, so it feels like a choir of 2,000 people at a crack, and a choral director, when he sees a lot of people, he can't resist turning around and getting them all to sing, and so I think there's just a nice balance of five centuries of music and more recognizable music, and then getting to be a part of it.
We started out before your introduction with music from a recording from the 2008 Vespers, which was the 50th anniversary, music by Mack Wilberg called Jubilate Deo. And you told me in advance that that's kind of the theme for this year's program.
It is. The official theme is Shout the Good News, but we chose that Jubilate Deo text, which is a great psalm text that really translates give joy back to God. And so there's this sense of joy that sort of permeates the concert this year, and we've really, in fact, we'll close the concert with Joy to the World, possibly the most recognizable carol on the planet. But so we've really tried to make it a very joyous occasion this year. That doesn't mean there won't be reflective moments and moments of real sobriety, but I think it's going to be really a fun concert.
And you've got all of the choirs at Millikan involved?
Five choirs, five different directors, each kind of bringing their own special skills to the event. And so and that includes composition. Three of them will contribute compositions to this year's Vespers, as well as orchestrations by our staff. Yeah, when it's all added up, there's about 350 people in total participating. So at times, all 350 are making music together, and that, when they're surrounding the audience, is very exciting.
Yeah, I imagine. Remind me, what are the choirs involved?
The choir, Millikan Men, directed by Ted Hesse. The University Women's Choir, directed by Michael Engelhardt. The Millikan Women, All Freshman Women's Choir, directed by Beth Holmes. The Chamber Chorale, directed by Guy Forbes. And the University Choir, directed by myself.
And you've got two of the women's choirs.
We do, as is the nature of it, kind of an underclass women's choir and then an upper class women's choir, and they kind of do a different sort of approach to repertoire, and so you'll see that reflected in the concert. It's very I think we have the best choral staff on the planet. Every one of them really brings some terrific energy and different skills to what we do. So as the students progress through the choirs, they get a really well-rounded experience.
I was watching some videos of your own choir on YouTube, which I'd certainly invite our listeners to check out. And I noticed in some of them that there's some choreography maybe isn't the right term, but definitely dramatic elements to the proceedings with people in different positions and moving around and walking here and there. And it really does look like almost like a marching band arrangement at one time.
It's probably you probably caught some of the things that we staged, depending on the kind of music, there may be some things that are mildly staged. I think you probably are referring to an early American piece, a Civil War piece that we did last year that we decided to sort of stage mildly. So, and of course, this concert there's a flow and a movement to the concert as choirs process in and out, and so there's certainly a visual aspect to what we do.
And there would be a set of sorts?
Well, it's really a concert set, but it's the concert is lit, and there's a lot of festive color, and so it's you're right. It's not a stand and a plant and sing concert in its entirety, although that certainly happens when it's more appropriate to the music.
You mentioned orchestrations, which implies that there are instruments involved.
About a pit of about 16, mostly brass, that just sort of support the mass choirs, and then when they play with the audience carols, everybody just loves that because it's just a big horsey sound that encourages everybody to sing.
A horsey sound.
Don't tell my brass players I call them horsey.
I'm not sure I've heard that term before in reference in that context anyway. Well, let's listen to another song from 2 years ago, since this is the CD I happen to have, Vespers 2008. We're talking with Brad Holmes, who is the director of choirs at Millikan University. Their Vespers performances are this weekend, Saturday and Sunday at 3 and 7. Saturday at 3 and 7, Sunday also at 3 and 7. Well,
that's
how
correct.
About that? Yeah, in the Millikan Fine Arts, Kirkland Fine Arts Center. I really am rather fond of Caribbean carols. So how about this one, A King Is Born Today?
Great.
A setting by Morgan Ames. Do you recall who was involved in this one, which groups?
I think, as I recall, this got a bunch of the people involved, so this might be kind of fun.
All right. A Caribbean carol, King Is Born Today, from Vespers 2008, Millikan University, here on Live and Local.
Baby's not his way. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. King is
Music performed by the choirs at Millikan University from Vespers 2008. A King is Born Today, a Caribbean carol set by Morgan Ames. And we have with us on the phone from Millikan, Brad Holmes, who is the director of choral activities at Millikan. Their Vespers are happening this weekend. I know I asked you this last year or some version of this question, but I'll ask it again anyway, that the name suggests that there is a religious connotation to it, but you don't necessarily mean it that way.
Well, Vespers means evening prayers, and so there certainly is a vehicle there for reflection and for thought of the season. Of course, as I said earlier, this is a very joyous event this year as well. So I think the idea is to recognize its place in the season as a time for gathering together, for reflection, for hope, for turning to sources that encourage us in our world. So I guess it certainly has a sacred aspect to it, and of course the music is drawn from five centuries, and Christmas music over the centuries has come from those locations. So I guess in some senses it certainly has a religious context.
But it is not a service.
It is not a service per se. It really is a concert. And that maybe belies its original title. And when it was first done, it might have fallen a little more into a service context. But we've kept the name Vespers because it rightly describes the spirit of the season.
How do the kids, the students, enjoy putting this program together?
You know, I was we come back early from Thanksgiving and the kids really have to buckle up as finals are just down the road, and so they really have to be ready in their schedule and their mindset for this. It's a lot of singing and a lot of late nights, and it's tedious work. But they understand that it's really not for them. It's for our community. They really get it when it comes to this is our way to give into the community. It's great for them to be on stage, but you know, there's not a single individual that walks out and says this is about me. There's too many singers up there, and so they get very excited about the part of it that says, how can I give, how can I contribute, how can I encourage others in this time?
Well, you said you've got some late nights, and I was going to guess that with so many groups involved, you really have to put in some extra time to coordinate all the the passing back and forth between the choirs and so
exactly.
on.
Exactly. We do pretty well getting most of it laid out in their class time, but when it comes to putting it in the hall and getting everybody in the right place, it's as I said, it's not okay. You go up on stage and now you go up on stage. In fact, the choirs are in the hall the entire time, so everybody participates with the other choirs, listening to them, standing in the aisles or standing in the balconies. Everybody is always participating in the event.
So they better have their comfortable shoes on.
they had better have their comfortable shoes on. Exactly right.
Those poor girls that decide to wear the tight high heels.
It's not possible, and that's very, very true. Very, it really is a huge demand. They'll stand there for 25 minutes, and then all of a sudden they're on, and they have to sing, and so it's it's taxing.
You know, I noticed in the YouTube videos I looked at that. It appeared that both you and the choirs had their music memorized. Do they all do that for this program as well?
Yeah, have to do that for this program. So we're struggling with that as we speak. So that's a huge part of it. But the truth of it is, if they're spread out in the hall. So far, I mean, they're yards, dozens of yards away from each other. They absolutely have to become very keyed into the sight of the tempos and avoid what their ears are telling them, because if they wait until they hear what's coming from the other side, it all falls apart. So it's a huge challenge to do some of those mass things in this big of a hall.
I remember when I was in high school glee club, we always sang everything from memory, and now I have a great deal of trouble doing things from memory.
Yeah, I think that's why we do this with the younger generation.
And what about yourself? Do you always conduct from memory?
I tend to conduct from memory, but you're right. It's a greater challenge than it used to be.
You told me, I think, earlier this year that the Millikan University Choir has another invitation to go back to the American Choral Directors Association conference this year.
What a huge thing that is for us. We're incredibly excited about this. For us, this is kind of the final four of the choral, collegiate choral world. There are five mixed choirs invited from throughout the United States and every other year to this conference. And to be chosen a second time to do that is pretty exciting for us. We're the only all undergraduate choir invited to the mixed choir part of this, and so we have our work cut out for us.
How do choirs get chosen for that?
Well, it's an audition. You turn in recordings from the past 3 years, and I understand there were 85 auditions this year. So we're trying to become worthy of that honor.
Well, you know, there's a fellow choir director over here who, I guess, goes to those things or pretty often, and commented that the best sound always came from the Millikan University Choir when it was there, which was quite something.
Well, that's pretty high praise. I'm not sure I share those sentiments exactly, but the last time we were there, and it was in Miami, and we did very well. But I think we kind of surprised people, and so the response was was very, very positive. I told the students we were kind of the Boise State of the choral world. Nobody knows who you are, and when you show up and do something well, then they're excited.
They're extra impressed.
Yeah.
How does one get tickets to the Vespers this weekend?
They can still get tickets, although I know Sunday afternoon at 3 is sold out, but there are still plenty tickets available for Sunday night, and they can get them from the Kirkland box office. They can phone that in if they want to, and that number I happen to have here is 424-6318. Or they can still go online at Millikan kirkland.edu and click over to the Kirkland Fine Arts page, and they can order tickets online.
And there are tickets also still for the Saturday performances?
There are. Saturday afternoon's pretty tight, but Saturday evening is a little more open.
So Saturday afternoon at 3 is tight. Sunday afternoon at 3 is sold out. And then it sounds like your best bet is the two evening performances, Saturday and Sunday at 7, the Kirkland Fine Arts Center. It's Vespers 2010 at Millikan University with all the choirs at the university, and Brad Holmes is the head of the whole proceedings and has been my guest on this portion of Live and Local. Really appreciate your joining us on the show.
I really enjoy the chance to talk about what we do. Thanks so much.
Let's go out with another song from 2008, the 50th anniversary program. Music by Donald McCullough, Quia Fecit Mihi Mania. Remind us what that means.
Well, it's a piece that leads into this idea of all the generations singing together. So it's this text drawn from the Magnificat in the scriptures, and it speaks of generation to generation being a part of it.
Mary's thanks for having been blessed with the Christ child.
And his mercy extends from generation to generation, right?
It's the Millikan University Choirs from Vespers 2008. Go out and hear Vespers 2010 this weekend. You're listening to Live and Local.
Thank you.
Quia Fecit Mihi Mania, music by Donald McCullough, performed by the choirs and brass players at Millikan University from their 50th anniversary Vespers program 2 years ago. You can hear the 52nd Vespers program this week, and there are four performances at 3 and 7 each on Saturday and Sunday. However, the Sunday one at 3 o'clock is apparently sold out. For more information, go to millikan.edu. I think it's /Kirkland. /Kirkland, and you can get your tickets online. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. In just a moment, we'll be talking with a sort of surprise guest conductor for the holiday program by the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra tomorrow night at the Krannert Center in Urbana.
Glowing hearts, a gentle snowfall, and voices raised in song.
Let each gift of love
remind you that this day the Christ child.
Enjoy an evening of music with six of Central Illinois' best a cappella singing groups.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Join us for Winter Voices, an a cappella holiday, Wednesday night at 7 on WILL-TV.
And our program today is made possible with support from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods, featuring foods from around the world, including imported chocolates, cookies, cheeses, and gift baskets for the holidays. Also find specialty ingredients like saffron, smoked paprika, truffle salt, grain of paradise, and more. World Harvest Foods at the intersection of 6th and University in Champaign. Boston Pops Orchestra with the Tanglewood Festival Chorus, Keith Lockhart conducting, and that's Carol of the Bells, a popular Christmastime favorite, which will be among the pieces on the holiday concert by the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra, joined by the Central Illinois Children's Chorus, tomorrow night at 7:30 in the Fullinger Great Hall of the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana. On the program with me right now is the guest conductor for that concert, Daniel Black. He wasn't planning to be the guest conductor until just a few days ago. Steve Larson, who, of course, is music director of the Champaign-Urbana Symphony, had some knee surgery a little while ago and had to have a little bit of it redone, I guess, on Sunday. And so you got the call, what, a few days ago?
I got the call Friday morning at about 11:53, if I remember it correctly.
It sounds like you're thinking rather precisely. What else are you preparing that you are trying to squeeze this in the midst of?
Well, we've got I also conduct the University of Illinois Chicago String Orchestra, and that has a Christmas holiday concert this coming Saturday after evening. And the following week is our fall concert of the Rockford Symphony Youth Orchestra, which is another orchestra that I conduct. So it's kind of in the middle of everything, but as a former teacher of mine once said, you know, when the phone rings, you have to answer the call, man.
Well, you threw me by the man there at the end. Any chance you'd share the name of that former teacher?
That's, of course, Victor Yampolsky at Northwestern University, where I have finished coursework and a doctorate in conducting. And he's a very colorful teacher of conducting.
He certainly can be. I don't remember his use of man, but, you know, that's okay. So Steve obviously knows you through Rockford because he does the Rockford Symphony Orchestra. Did he happen to hire you for this job or participate in the hiring for the youth orchestra job?
He did, actually. Yeah, so I've worked together with Steve for about a year and a half now.
And you're a composer as well as a conductor?
Yes. It's kind of hard to keep both hats, keep both things going at the same time, wear both hats. But I did have a little bit of success a few years ago with a composition that went to the final round of the International Prokofiev Competition in St. Petersburg, Russia. It was premiered there in St. Petersburg. And still good enough commissions and interest from various people around the Chicago area to keep it going.
Well, that's fantastic. And you made it to the second round of an international conducting competition as well, Antonio Pedrotti.
Yeah, that's true. That was a lot of fun, if for no other reason than I got to go to Italy. But it was it's an interesting thing going to a conducting competition. It's kind of like it's kind of like a parody on real life. It's not really exactly conducting. You only have 5 minutes to go in there and do your thing, but it's exciting. And I had worked with some wonderful musicians there, got a chance to catch up with some conducting colleagues that I hadn't seen in a while, and stayed with possibly the nicest, most hospitable Italian host family that I have ever met.
How many Italian host families have you met?
I guess that's the only one, but I have had other host families from other nations.
Yeah. Since you mentioned, I guess I mentioned the conducting competition, what does happen in those? I mean, how did you get, what were the various stages that you went through to get to the point where
well,
you got?
The first stage in this particular round, and there's not very many competitions that do this in this way anymore, was a live audition round. And most competitions now, in fact, possibly all, ask you to send in a video and a resume of conducting because it's just not feasible to have all the hundreds of applicants audition live. But this was an exception. So I actually flew. I was living in St. Petersburg, Russia at the time. I flew to Trento in northern Italy and conducted a string sextet, Brahms string sextet number 2, for about 10-15 minutes. There were a panel of judges there, and I felt like it went well, but they didn't tell me the result for another 3 months, so that was kind of a...
3 months, wow.
Yeah, it was, well, because they had this audition tour, so, they had to finish the entire circuit around the world before they announced the results. Then I got in, which was a very exciting day, and went back to Italy 6 months later for the main part of the competition. The first round was, again, a small chamber ensemble performing William Walton's Facade. Hmm. So I got a couple movements of that, about 10 minutes. Again, judges were watching everyone, and I think primarily looking for baton technique and just your ability to work with the ensemble.
So you're supposed to do some rehearsal in the midst of that as well, or just not really?
Yeah, you can, but I mean, you only have 10 minutes and you have 5 or 6 minutes worth of music to conduct, so it's just not, you have very, very limited time. Most important, I mean, you could easily talk away that whole time without ever doing anything, so, more important, and I think some competitors get nervous and do that, more important is to show that you can actually command the group with your gestures. The second round had a little bit more time and got to work with a choir and an orchestra working on the Schubert Mass in G major. And that was a lot of fun, too. Unfortunately, the judges did not agree with my personal assessment that I should have passed on and won the competition, but it was a great experience nonetheless.
Yeah, well, I mean, to have made it that far, I mean, there must have been hundreds of people involved in that competition as well.
I presume so. I think everything in the field of conducting involves hundreds of applicants.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, and there are so many out there trying to do the job in one way or another. Brad Holmes, who I just talked to in the first part of the show, had just come out of a conducting class where he was teaching 40 choral conductors. And I'm thinking, and they all want our jobs. And most of them won't get them either. Well, you're of course, here to do this thing that legendary conductors have started by doing, which is stepping in at the last minute, as they say, to replace somebody else or another. And no slight to Steve Larson. He's not Leonard Bernstein, but it's still a great opportunity for you. And so you get a couple of rehearsals to throw this program together, and then you do it on tomorrow night.
Well, let's start with the beginning. I had 2 full days to learn the repertoire.
Plenty of time.
Then 2 rehearsals, which actually is kind of a lot for a Pops concert. Sometimes orchestras will only have one, and sometimes that'll be the day of the concert. So I feel fairly happy with having 2. And, you know, I can just say that this is the kind of opportunity that I've been hoping for a long time. And so as pressure-packed as that is, it's something I've been training for and something that I'm very excited to be doing.
And you had rehearsal last night?
We did, yeah. And I think it went quite well. We haven't worked yet with the Central Illinois Children's Choir, which is one of the featured groups, and we'll be singing a couple of numbers along with the orchestra. That'll be tonight, but I did get a chance to work with most of the orchestral music, most of the challenging pieces, and everything went quite well.
Well, you know, I actually talked to a member of the wind section last night after your rehearsal who was very complimentary. I'll just pass that along.
Well, that's good to know.
Here, it's a really varied program you got, and I'm not sure who we're going to hear or what kind of arrangement we've got in this piece, but this is one of the tunes on the program, which is a lot of, well, as you would expect, it's a Pops concert, so some popular tunes. My Favorite Things has gotten a Christmas association somehow or another. Or at least is given one with this program.
I'm pretty sure it has to do with the brown paper packages wrapped up in string.
That must be
line.
It. From The Sound of Music. And this comes from the only other Broadway CD you'll ever need. And I'm sure you have,
well, I have the
main one.
I have the main one, of course.
Yeah, of course.
It's good to know there's another out there.
Music by Richard Rodgers here on Live and Local.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so
from The Sound of Music, My Favorite Things, Rebecca Luker in the role of Maria. And that was from a production in 1998 at the Martin Beck Theater on Broadway. And that ran for 532 performances. Obviously, that show has always been popular, and that song, one of the many popular ones from it. And you can hear it on the Holiday Pops concert by the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra tomorrow night at 7:30. The Central Illinois Children's Chorus joining the symphony. Charmian Bully is artistic director of the chorus. Andrea Solia is the conductor of the choir. And Daniel Black is guest conducting the CU Symphony. Steve Larson, music director, has had some complications from knee surgery, and doctors admonished him not to do it, even though conductors are very inclined to disobey doctors, I'm sure, in instances like these. Daniel, what are the challenges normally when you have just a rehearsal or two for a program like this, which has lots of different short pieces? And then how do you add what complications are added when you are stepping in front of an orchestra for the first time that's normally conducted by somebody else?
Well, first of all, I'll answer your first question about a program with a lot of small numbers and very limited rehearsal time. I think the challenge is to make sure that you can find the moments that the orchestra really needs to work on. So it means you have to have kind of a practiced eye when you're looking at the scores, you know, and realize that not everything is equal, even though one piece might be 7 minutes. In the case of tomorrow night, we have a very wonderful piece called "Twas the Night Before Christmas" by Bill Holcomb, which sets the popular poem as a narration with orchestra. And the narrator, by the way, is going to be Ron Hedlund, a world-famous bass baritone and retired UI faculty member will be joining us. This piece has got a lot of complicated elements, so even though it's only 7 minutes long, it's got a lot of things to work on. But on the other hand, the Favorite Things and Leroy Anderson's Sleigh Ride, you know, these great favorites that are played every year, are not something the orchestra really needs to work on. So you have to identify what you're going to prioritize, I guess. The second question is, how do you work with a strange orchestra? They don't know. They were expecting to see Steve there last night, and some of them, if they didn't read their email, may have been completely surprised. And I think there that you just want to be, first of all, you want to be very respectful and understand your place. And secondly, that I always feel it's most important to just get to business, you know, not spend too much time talking and speechifying, but just, you know, let's get this through. And third thing, you just want to do your conducting and trust in your conducting and trust that it's going to be get the job done, I guess.
I was talking to a few weeks ago a member of the Chicago Symphony horn section right before the CSO came to the Krannert Center, and I had asked him how orchestras, certainly at that level, evaluate guest conductors, and I'm told they do it rather quickly. But he said one of the biggest telltale signs is something you kind of alluded to, which is that somebody who talks a lot and particularly tries to explain how the music goes usually gets black marks quickly. So since you mentioned that, I'm assuming that you had a plan in mind that would not involve a lot of talking.
Well, it's made even that is magnified even more when you only have short rehearsal time, because, you know, you've got 65 minutes worth of music to get through in 2 hours. There's not a lot of time for anything. Don't talk too much. Just play it through. And, you know, the great thing about working with professional orchestras is that they are self-correcting. And if they miss a note or something, they'll fix it. You don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. And they also are really good at following conducting interpretations. So if you can show yourself clearly what you want to do, they'll just do it. You don't have to talk about it at all.
What are some of the pieces on the program that folks might be surprised by, presumably pleasantly surprised?
Well, there's a collection of works that are under the category of audience sing-along. And I think that is surprising to get the chance to actually stand up, hopefully stand up, and join in with the orchestra in your favorite songs. Of course, I'll caution audience members that there's still, once you join in the performance of the orchestra, you also have to follow the conductor.
So are you going to be having to split yourself and facing, you know, one side or the other and eyes in the back of your head or something like that?
Yeah, I think head on a swivel might be the best description of it. I'm actually practicing my two-way conducting moves.
So you're going to be planning a chiropractic adjustment either before or after to get your neck back in order?
Probably after. I don't think there's enough time before, but we'll see.
Well, it sounds like a great opportunity for you to come in on short notice and do the program. Certainly everybody's wishing Steve Larson well in his recovery from this second surgery. And it's a great opportunity for the CU Symphony to work with somebody new, having been used to Steve for some time. And a great show for the audience. Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra Holiday Concert with the Central Illinois Children's Chorus tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. Daniel Black is the guest conductor. He is also a music director of the Rockford Symphony Youth Orchestra. And bragging on you a little bit, they took second place in the 2010 American Prize Competition for Excellence in Orchestral Performance, presumably among youth orchestras.
Well, yes, it would be tough to get that prize if you were against every orchestra in America.
But there's a lot of youth orchestras.
There are a lot of youth orchestras, and you know, I was very pleased to receive such an honor. Working with the youth orchestra, as I talked about working with professional orchestras earlier, working with youth orchestra is much more like teaching music than interpreting. You know, you're not a great maestro in that setting. So, I think that there's very little. You know, a lot of people talk about music as something that is, you know, talented or not, and it's kind of like you're in one bin or the other. But my experience and my feeling is that really there's not much in music that can't be taught. if you know how to teach and if you know how to learn. So I think that working with youth orchestra has been a great experience in helping to build up their skill level and their, you know, and at the same time, appreciation for music. The other thing that's great about working with youth orchestra is that you're introducing them, you know, and for professionals, you know, how many times have you done New World Symphony, for example? Many, many times, obviously. But for the youth orchestra, they probably never even heard it before. You know, and I think that kind of first contact with this great music is just really, really exciting. And I can't wait to teach them how this music goes for the first time.
Well, and as it happens, the local youth orchestra is going to be joining this orchestra, the Champaign-Urbana Symphony, for the New World Symphony next April in a side-by-side. So there'll be both experiences going on there.
Well, it sounds great.
Yeah. Thanks, Dan, very much for joining us on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
And best of luck with the concert.
Thank you.
Our broadcast today is made possible with support from St. Joseph Apothecary in St. Joseph, a full-service pharmacy specializing in compounding medications to meet individual patient needs. St. Joseph Apothecary invites you to join them in supporting WILL. And we have a support as well from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from noon to 4 in the Bouvant's Tasting Room. More information is at thecorkscrew.com. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WYNL-FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266AF Urbana and W293AF Danville. WYNL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. This has been Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. And on tomorrow's show, we'll be having some members of the cast of Parkland College Theater's production of Nuncrackers, the Nonsense Christmas Musical, which opens tomorrow night at 7:30 and continues through the weekend. And the University of Illinois Jazz Band 4 is performing at the Krannert Center tomorrow night at 7:30. An alto sax recital by Millikan University faculty member Perry Rask is in Kuiper Hall in Decatur tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. And I guess I should mention some programs tonight. The Illini Symphony at the University of Illinois is in Smith Memorial Hall tonight at 7:30. There's another Millikan faculty recital tonight at 7:30 in Kuiper Hall. It's pianist Chi-Hyun Choi. And Margaret Murphy and Chuck Webb play jazz at Remy's on Monroe in Springfield tonight at 8:30. And the Decatur Choral Society presents Opus 24 in their fall choral concert tonight at 7:30 at St. Patrick Catholic Church in Decatur. Join us again for another show tomorrow from noon to 1, and thanks for being with us today. Here's one of the most popular of all Christmas tunes. It will be on tomorrow night's Champaign-Urbana Symphony Holiday Concert.